Anyway, would you stand with me one more time, please? Thank you. Out of love and respect, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, go, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Again, back in verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Notice this next question, but where are the 9?
Yeah.
Where are the 9? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord. I think this is the message for the hour. Lord, I believe it's what you gave me to preach to your people. Help me to feed them, Lord. I pray help them to feast on your word. Lord God, may it not be me that they hear. May they hear your voice, your spirit. May it fill them. May it encourage them. May it help them. God, may it guard and guide their hearts, Lord, I pray. Fill this place, Lord. We need you. We want you desperately to speak to our hearts. And God, we love you and we thank you that you're faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Where are the 9? That's the title of the message tonight. I want to take a look with you tonight at these other 9. This morning we've pretty much spent time on the 1, but I want to take a look at the results tonight, really, of being unthankful. Jesus asked this question, where are the 9? Now, you know as well as I do, he knew the answer.
Right.
Right? You understand what I'm saying? Yep. Jesus knew where those men were.
Yeah,
right. He created those men. He cleansed those men, and he knew exactly where they were. But I believe then, if he asked this question, if God recorded this in his inerrant, infallible, infinite, all-powerful Bible, then obviously I think we need to stop and ponder this question a minute. Where are the 9? I don't believe even one word of this Bible is wasted. I don't believe even one word of this Bible is just there to fill up space. It's not idle. It's God's Word. And as we ponder this question, let us remember a few things about the one who did return to give thanks. He was a Samaritan, we said. And we said that that means he understood he did not deserve to be cleansed. Now hold your place here, but look back in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, quickly, verses 44 and following. Luke 7. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head, and with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, excuse me, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. But I want you to see, that's what we call the Luke 7 principle, if you will, that to verse 47 is key. Wherefore Jesus says, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That Samaritan in Luke chapter 17, the reason he was so much more thankful than the other 9, who I don't believe were Samaritans, is because he understood that he had many sins. He was impure. He was not ever, his generation was not the gifted generation, if you will. And so he had a heart of giving and serving and being thankful because he understood that he had many sins and that all of those sins were forgiven. Therefore, he loved more than the person who has little, a few sins that are forgiven. In other words, there's a principle here that when you understand how many sins that you have been forgiven, how many things that God has really cleansed you from, you will be more willing than the person who thinks, well, I never really did anything that bad.
Right.
You see, so the principle is that this one Samaritan who returned to Jesus, go back to Luke 17, he had an understanding that he did not deserve to be cleansed. We said that this morning. He was a Samaritan. He knew that he did not deserve it. The Jews in that day, even the leprous Jews, they just had this attitude of self-righteousness. They just had this attitude of self-righteousness. They did not really need to be, they just wanted to be cleansed. They didn't really need anything else.
Yeah.
They didn't come back to glorify God. He comes back and gives glory to God. He didn't let the unthankful attitude, remember there was nine others that went away. Yeah. This one man didn't let their unthankful attitude affect him.
That's right.
You got to be real careful. I'm just reviewing some things this morning. You got to be real careful getting around people that are always negative.
Amen.
Getting around people who are always complaining about God, complaining about Jesus, complaining about the Bible, complaining about the pastor, complaining about church, complaining about everything that they can. Everything comes out of their mouth is negative.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to be. You just need to turn around and go to Jesus. Amen. Don't walk with those people.
That's right.
And he didn't walk with those people, did he? He did not let. He did not let their unthankful attitudes affect him.
Yeah.
He's a picture of the minority, and we know that. The believers that return to give thanks are always the minority. That's sad to say. He drew nigh unto the Lord, notice, as soon as he could. As soon as he saw he was cleansed, he drew nigh unto God as soon, immediately, as he knew he was saved. It wasn't anything to keep him away. His humility was real. His humility was sincere. His humility was genuine. He wasn't just seeking a fire escape out of hell.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, preach.
Right? You know, there's so many people today. Listen, are they saved? Listen to me. I said it this morning. Salvation is simple. A child can be saved. God is not going to make it complicated because Jesus Christ bled and died and paid an awful price for every one of our souls. So salvation is not overly complicated. But we can be born again. If we want to get out of hell and understand Jesus is our only hope, we will be saved if God sees a heart that desires righteousness to be born again and be saved. But listen, but there is something about salvation in 1%, or excuse me, 10% of Christians that they understand, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not just these other nine, they just understood as kind of a fire escape from hell. They got cleansed, they went on about their lives. But he wasn't like them.
That's right.
His thankful spirit kept him close to Christ. We talked about that this morning. Now, on that note, I want to talk to you. I want to take a walk with you for a little while tonight through some different Bible stories. And I want to use our sanctified imagination. The Bible talks about vain imaginations, vain things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But a sanctified imagination is based on the Word of God and what God says. And it's based on principles of the Bible. You understand? So I'm going to take some Bible principles. We're going to expound on the Word of God, and we're going to expose, if you will, what an unthankful heart produces. An unthankful heart produces, and then when we see what an unthankful heart produces, I think we can see and probably safely say that these 90% of Christians end up in one of these places. Unthankful Christians end up in one of these places. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Don't turn there, just listen. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, these guys knew God.
Yeah.
They knew that this was God, this was the Son of God, and they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy. They knew that this was their only hope.
Yeah.
Well, when they knew God, the Bible says, they glorified Him not.
Yeah, come on, great.
These nine men, 90% of Christians don't glorify God, even though they know Him.
Come on, preach.
And it says, neither were they thankful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right.
But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I think, you know what I think? I think we need to turn over. I think you need to see that. Look at Romans chapter 1 with me. I for sake of time, I was just going to read it, but I want you to see it and hear it. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because I want you to see how it applies to our text in Luke 17. Romans 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So see, glorifying God, being thankful, glorifies God.
Yeah.
Being thankful for what God has done, it glorifies God.
Yeah,
but see, these folks knew God, just like those 10 or 9 lepers. They knew God. They knew that God had healed them, but they did not glorify. Why? Because they weren't thankful. But notice what happens then when a person doesn't glorify God, when they're not thankful, they become vain in their imaginations.
Yeah.
And their foolish heart becomes darkened.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
It's not going to end up well for these 9.
Nope. That's right.
Where are the 9, preacher? I don't know where they're at, but I guarantee you one thing. If they don't get a thankful heart, they're not going to end up well. They're not going to end up where they think they're going to end up. It's not going to end up well. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Where are the 9? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Okay? That's the root of it. That's the root of these 9.
Yeah.
Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's that next word? Unthankful.
Yeah.
Notice it's right beside unholy.
Yeah.
Without natural affection, verse 3. Truce breakers. Their word means nothing. False accusers, incontinent. That means they have no control of themselves. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors. I mean, they're traitors. Judas was a traitor.
Yeah.
Judas Iscariot was a traitor.
Right.
Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of... It doesn't say that they don't love God.
Yeah.
It says that they love pleasure more.
Come on. Preach.
Why? Because they love themselves. Notice it says, having a form of godliness in verse 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Yeah.
Having a form of godliness means they're religious. That means they prayed. They asked Jesus to save them, to cleanse them. They called Him Master, and He did cleanse them because, again, that's God is not willing that any should perish.
Right.
But they never got their hearts right. And in this is a very ugly list of perilous times, dangerous times, times where you don't feel safe going out after dark.
Yeah, come on.
Because men are so much in love with themselves that they are unthankful. See, the key to being thankful is to understand you don't deserve anything.
That's right.
Let me say that again. The key to being thankful is to understand that we don't deserve anything.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Come on. Preach it.
Amen.
Yep.
But when you love yourself and you're full of vain imaginations, you don't glorify God, you glorify you.
Yeah.
You live for you. And those 9, they got what they wanted from God. And I don't think that I think they got cleansed like the Bible says. But yet, they didn't end up like the one did.
Come on.
Where are the 9? Where will the 90% of Christians end up? It's sad, but I just want you... I think this is eye-opening. It helped me anyway. And I'm just trying to help us. Number one, first of all, we don't ever want to find ourselves here in this 90%. But also, we need to understand why is it that so many Christians are so different than what the Bible says they're supposed to be.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to... work with some different people and disciple some different people. And one of the biggest things that people have a hang up with is once saved, always saved.
Yep. Amen.
Because they don't understand how is it that a Christian, a saved person, can live so far away from God.
Come on.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm trying to... Listen, they got cleansed.
Right.
They got healed.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of salvation. They got what they... But they just kept going on in the other direction. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They were not thankful. They did not glorify God. And it ended up very ugly, as we're going to see.
Yeah.
Some of these 9 tonight, where are these 9 anyway? Some of these 9 are going to find themselves lying in the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
Turn to Jonah.
Yep.
Turn to Jonah.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going, but let's turn there anyway. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Amen. Jonah, Micah. Jonah chapter 1. It says there that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, now God's word, God spoke to this man. And he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went the other direction. He joined the 90%. He joined the 9, okay? He rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found the ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went away from the presence of God. He went away from Jesus just like the 9. Now, here's what I'm saying. Some of those 9 are going to find themselves. Look in verse 15. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Listen to me. He found himself lying in the belly of a whale because, notice, he was not thankful that God was trying to use him.
Yes. Come on, preach it, brother. That's right.
Amen. That's right.
God said, son, I want to use you.
Yeah, amen. Come on.
God said, son, I want you to do something for me, something that only you can do. I want you to do something for me, something that you will never, ever regret, something that is only possible through my power and my abilities, my strength. And Jonah said, nope.
Come on.
That's right. Yep.
Where are the 9? See, some of them are lying in the belly of a whale.
Come on, preach it. That's right.
Because although they're saved, they said, God, I'm not going any further.
Come on, yeah.
I'm not doing anything else for you.
Yeah.
Don't call me to preach.
Preach it.
Don't ask me to serve you. Don't ask me to do anything for you.
Yeah.
Notice verse 2, it says, arise, go to Nineveh. Whenever God says something that has a will for you and something for you to do, it's always an arising. It's always coming up, amen? It's always improving your life, in other words.
Amen.
But when we're not thankful that God's trying to use us, He didn't save us. Again, I've said this 100 times, but He didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He saved us to use us.
Yes.
But when we are not thankful that God would want to use us, and, because there's no other reason that we would say no, God, we begin to go down.
That's right.
God said, arise. Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship, then down to the bottom of the ocean, then down to the bottom of the belly of the well.
That's right.
Because he wasn't thankful that God had saved him. No, he was fine with that. But God said, okay, so I'm going to take it another level. We're going to take this thing up another notch. Now I want you to preach.
Yeah.
Now I want you to be a witness. Now I want you to go tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
And he wasn't thankful. Think about this. I mean, really, we understand, he didn't like the Ninevites, and he didn't want to do that. And no, the fact is, he should have been thankful that he was saved to begin with, and he should have been willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. I promise you, some of those 9 that went away from Jesus that day found themselves sooner or later lying in the belly of a whale, surrounded with the bile of the stomach of a whale.
Come on, preach it.
Smelling like you can imagine that smells. Now wait a minute. Jonah was a man of God.
Come on. Yeah, that's right.
All of these examples I'm going to give to you are children of God, saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't tell me that a Christian can't find themselves in the belly of a whale.
Because
they're not thankful that God would want to use them. They're not thankful. They're focused. Remember, their foolish hearts become darkened. They don't glorify God. They're not thankful. They're not willing to do what God wants them to do. They will find themselves, some of these 9 found themselves in the belly of the whale. Number 2. Go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Where are the 9, preacher? Well, some of them are lying in the belly of a whale.
Yep.
Genesis chapter 39. Verse 1. I'm going to read some scripture here, so stay with me. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. See, down.
Come on.
And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. All that he had, he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. I mean, good night. This guy is just getting blessed abundantly. He knew not all he had. He didn't even know what he had. Joseph was just in charge of it, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass, dearly beloved, listen to me. Yep. It's always going to come to pass that when God's blessing, Satan's fighting.
Yep.
Pay attention to what I'm saying now. Everything, Joseph was in slavery, but yet God was blessing him beyond his wildest dreams. But it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." It kind of sounds like the Garden of Eden. God has not kept back anything from us but this one tree.
Right.
Yeah.
"Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. It wasn't one time, dearly beloved. It was day after day after day. Temptation, temptation, temptation. And it came to pass, verse 11, about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." Oh, what a woman. I don't want to go there. But anyway, I don't mean that well at all. This woman is the tool of Satan. This woman is filled with the devil. This woman is absolutely controlled by Satan, Lucifer himself. He has taken her captive. And she said, "Lie with me." She grabs a hold of him. And she's trying to forcibly, literally, just rape this young man. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, and she called him to the house. But listen, here's what I want you to see. Joseph was a child of God.
Yep.
Joseph said in verse 9, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, some of these nine are going to find themselves lying in the belly of the well. Some of these nine are going to find themselves lying with Potiphar's wife.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, they're going to find themselves destroyed by immorality.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Why? Because he was not thankful for God's trials.
Yeah, that's right.
Trials.
Come on.
That's what I said. This was a big trial of his faith.
That's right. Amen. Yep.
Now, please pay attention. It's not going to do you any good if you just sit there and daydream all night. Listen, I'm talking about these nine that went away from Jesus did not end up well. Because in the Bible, the principle is the same. And God's Word never contradicts itself. And the fact is, if Joseph would have not been thankful, listen, he had, even though he was a slave in Egypt.
Yeah.
His own brethren had sold him out in Egypt. Oh. He was working for a man who was an Egyptian. But he did not forget the fact that God had blessed him and given him everything. Yeah. He had much favor with that man. And then because of his gratitude for what God had done for him, this trial of his faith did not destroy him, because he stayed thankful for what God was doing as he was trying his faith.
That's right. Amen.
You see, when you and me go through the blessings of the favor of God, there's no problem then being thankful.
Right.
Right.
Well, quite frankly, our day and age, I think that's even less and less. But we're more apt to be thankful when the Bible says the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had, and he left all, and the Bible says that Joseph was a goodly person and well favored, and the Lord was with him. Now we don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, right.
But we have, what, that's the same God, by the way, listen, that turns around and then tries our faith.
Yeah.
To prove our hearts.
That's right.
And what he wants us to do is when that temptation comes, he's not trying to make us sin. He's trying to help us see that he's working to grow us better, to make us stronger against temptation. How are we going to be stronger against temptation? By being thankful for all the blessings that he's already bestowed upon us.
That's right. Amen.
By remembering what he's already done for us. Okay, right then and there, this woman is nagging him. This woman is harassing him. This woman is literally hounding him.
That's right.
He's not thinking, oh, thank you, God, for this. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this woman.
Yeah, that's right.
But he is thanking God for the blessings that God has already bestowed upon him and poured out upon his life. And he realizes, okay, this is a trial. This is God working to prove my heart. Will I stay faithful to God or will I cheat on God? Because he said, how can I commit this sin against God? It would not have been a sin against Potiphar. It would not have been a sin against this woman. It would not have been a sin against Joseph or his brother. It was a sin against God. And that's how we understand that God is trying to help us strengthen our faith so that when temptation comes, we will remember how good he's been to us already and how much he's blessed us already, and therefore we will not go into sin. We will thank God for the blessings and we will stay away from the sin.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
But these nine weren't thankful.
Yeah, that's right.
I guarantee you some of them found themselves in bed with Potiphar's wife.
Sure.
Now, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about destroying their families,
right,
destroying their marriages, destroying their kids, destroying their future. Why? All because they were not thankful.
Come on. Yeah.
Is it that big a deal? I'm trying to get you to see it is that big of a deal. That we remain thankful even when God's trying our faith, when God is growing us up.
Yeah.
I've said it, maybe you remember it, maybe you already heard it, but a faith that has never been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And so God knows that, so he's going to test our faith. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, along these same lines. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is salvation.
Yep.
The grace of God is all the goodness of God poured out on undeserving sinners, right? But if you fail of that grace, if you fall from that grace, if you refuse or neglect or ignore that grace, if you're not thankful for that grace. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you there with me? Be careful, he says, lest any man fail, because if that happens, a root of bitterness is going to spring up.
Yep.
And trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
That's right.
Lest there be any fornicator. A fornicator. That's immorality.
That's right.
See, what happens is if we fail of the grace of God, if we fail to be thankful for all that God's already done for us, the salvation alone is enough, ought to be enough to keep us going every day and be faithful to our God.
Yeah,
man. That's right.
If we fail of that grace, if we fail to be thankful for that grace, in our trials, listen now, in our trials is where that is going to be tested.
Yep.
Are you following me? In our trials is where that faith is going to be tested, where we're trusting the grace of God. But in our trials, where that's being tested, if we don't stay thankful, if we fail to be thankful, bitterness is going to sink in.
Yeah.
And then spring up. And bitterness is going to defile. Defile.
That's right.
Defile.
Yes.
Joseph would have defiled himself with that woman.
Yeah.
He would have never been the same.
That's right.
Never.
Yep.
You don't get that back, guys.
That's right.
That's right.
You don't get that back.
That's right.
Yep.
He would have defiled himself if he would have failed to be thankful for the grace of God that God had already poured out on his life. But right about now, He wasn't seeing a whole lot of grace. He was seeing a woman who was an adulteress harlot.
Yeah, that's right.
And she, it doesn't matter what it is. It's something in this world that is desperately trying to make you fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
It's a trial of your faith. Yep. God's saying, will you just trust me? Don't forget how good I am to you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't forget that even though you're in the middle of this trial, don't forget that even though you're in the middle of this hardship, I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still at work. I'm still your God. I still saved you by my grace. My grace is sufficient to get you through this. You cannot fail to be thankful for that grace, or you will let bitterness creep in, and you will find yourself lying with Potiphar's wife.
That's right.
Some of these nine found themselves lying with Potiphar's wife.
Right.
I guarantee you, folks, because they were not thankful.
Yeah.
See, God tries our faith to grow it.
That's right.
But He always gives us the grace necessary to get through it.
Yeah.
But if we fail to thank God for it, if we don't see the grace in it, bitterness is always the result.
Yep.
Number three. Where are the nine, preacher? Well, some of them are in the belly of the whale. Some of them are lying with Potiphar's wife in adulterous immorality. Luke 24. Jump over there with me. Luke 24. Where are the nine? Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles or so. Luke 24, verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That's not a place where you want to be, right? When you need Christ the most, yet you can't see Him. It's not that He's not there, folks.
That's right. Yep.
Verse 17, He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Jesus is playing coy here. What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. They're using past tense. Yep. Which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, past tense, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which had said that he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them in verse 25, Jesus starts to speak there and he says, O fools and slow of heart. Now listen, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I'm going to leave off reading there and tell you what's going on. These men are leaving Jerusalem. Look again in verse 13. Two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from, they were going away from Jerusalem. The Jerusalem means city of peace.
Yep.
City of peace. God had put these disciples in Jerusalem, in the city of peace, in His perfect will. Now listen now, they were walking out of the peace of God's will.
Yep. Amen.
They were leaving the city of peace. Emmaus means obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it means to be obscure? It means to fade away into the darkness.
Yep.
They were in the middle of all of the activities. They knew all about Jesus. They apparently, from what they were saying, they had been with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had talked. They had heard His voice. They knew that He was a prophet. They knew that He had died. They knew that He had buried Him and His body was no longer there. I mean, they knew the whole gospel.
That's right.
They were his disciples. The Bible calls them disciples. And I'm telling you about saved people. Jonah was the man of God. Joseph was a man of God. These two disciples were disciples of Christ. But here's what I'm saying to you. They found themselves leaving the peace of the will of God.
Yep.
See, you don't have peace outside the will of God.
That's right.
Come on now, there is no peace when we find ourselves leaving the will of God. When you hear these men speak, by the way, you hear them say, Jesus said they were sad anyway, and you hear them talk about Jesus past tense, his power past tense, we trusted past tense, and these women, but we haven't seen him, and there's no peace in their hearts.
That's right.
There's no peace in their hearts. Mm-hmm. You see, some of these nine, I guarantee you, found themselves leaving the peace of the will of God. Peace, the will of God, because they were not thankful for God's, listen now, for God's truth.
That's
Amen.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying to you that what happened to them on that road was Jesus began to open up to them the Scriptures.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
They were not thankful for what the Bible had already said to them. They already knew this, but see, Jesus said, "Oh, thou fools, fools and slow of hearts." He says in verse 25, to believe all the prophets have spoken. They didn't believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, well, that's a lack of faith, preacher. That's not unthankfulness. No, listen to me. It's not being thankful for the fact that God's Word is all that we need. It's not being thankful for the fact that the Word of God has been given to us for this very reason, to keep us from leaving the will of God. The Word of God is keep us in the peace and protection and safety of the perfect will of God. These guys were walking into obscurity. They were fading off stage right.
Yep.
They were leaving the scene.
That's right.
They had no intention of coming back, Miss Annabelle. They had no intention of coming back to Jerusalem. They thought it was all over. Jesus was dead. They can't find his body. We thought he was the Messiah, kind of like John the Baptist. Art thou the one, or do we look for another? They were filled with doubts and confusion because they were not thankful for the fact that God had said this had to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They were not thankful for the fact that Jesus had to die.
Yeah.
You remember Peter? Peter said, "Oh, no, sir. Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. I'm not going to let that happen to you." Jesus said, "Satan, get thee behind me. Thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but that be of this world." You're looking at things from the eyes of the eyeballs of the world. And these men were looking at things from what they were not thankful for the fact that the Bible had told them this had to happen. This was on purpose. This was exactly the only way we could be saved. The gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It had to happen.
Yes, amen.
But see, they weren't thankful for the truth of God's word.
Amen.
I want you to understand something. Look what happens. Now, for sake of time, jump down, verse 30. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, verse 32, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the Scriptures. You understand, every word that comes out of Jesus' mouth is the Word of God.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And he said, our hearts were burning within us. They went back to Jerusalem that night, and they began to witness and testify and tell people they had seen Jesus. Look at verse 34. They were saying, the Lord is risen indeed.
Amen.
How did everything change in their lives? Through that book.
That's right.
That book that you hold in your lap tonight.
Yeah.
Are you thankful for that book?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Preach.
Come on now.
Amen.
Ask yourself seriously, am I really thankful for this book?
Amen.
This is the only truth in this world.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
Let every man be a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every single man ever born or ever will be born is a liar. That is 100% absolute, irrevocable, infallible truth. Are we thankful for it?
Come on, preach it.
Are we thankful for it?
Yeah.
I think we are thankful for it, but I think we need to be very careful to be more thankful for it.
Amen.
To be more thankful for it.
Amen.
Because this is what will get our hearts burning again.
Yes.
With the fire from heaven. This is what's going to revive our spirits. This is what's going to bring us back to Jerusalem, the city of peace. This is what's going to get us back in the peace of God's will. I guarantee you, dearly beloved, some of those nine that went away that day found themselves leaving the peace, leaving the will of God, and fading off into obscurity.
That's right.
Why? Because they weren't thankful for the truth.
That's right.
The truth that Jesus had just healed them, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
The truth that it was miraculous. It was absolute instantaneous. It was God's power displayed right before their very eyes. So is this.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. This is the very Spirit of God. This is breathed by God. These words are forever preserved by God's Spirit Himself. This is a miraculous book. This is a body of truth that has changed your life, that has changed millions of lives. This is God's Word. Are we really thankful for it? This is the only reason you're cleansed.
That's right. Amen.
This is the only reason you're cleansed.
That's right.
This is the only reason you have anything to look forward to tomorrow.
Come on.
By here.
That's right.
This is the only reason that we'll ever walk the streets of gold. Hallelujah.